All right, in rightly dividing the Word of God, the Word of truth, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth, we must ask the who, what, why, when, and where, of course. And the one I want to look at today is the who. And we're going to discern and talk just for a moment about forgiveness and who are we to forgive and who are we not obligated to forgive, or should I say, who are we not obligated to spend our time with and give a relationship to? You remember that Jesus taught that if our brother trespass against us, we are to forgive them even to the measure of 70 times 7. In other words, we're to continue to walk in love toward the brethren of Christ. Okay, and that's a qualification. They must be brethren of Christ. In fact, perhaps the Apostle Peter understood that himself, because when he asked the question, he included the word brother. Listen, he says, in fact, Jesus was just speaking about the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. And then Peter came to him, Matthew 18:21, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother, sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. In other words, we are to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the qualification I believe we really need to look at. And then he finishes this message here in verse 35, the last verse of the chapter. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother, another, again, qualified as brother, their trespass. Now, how do we reckon that? How do we reconcile that with what Jesus taught in Matthew 7, where he said that we're not to give that which is holy unto the dogs, Matthew 7:6, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Well, it's real simple. Listen to what he says. Give not that which is holy unto who? The dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You see, among the true people of God, the true body of Christ, there is love. There's the Spirit of God in each person. And there's the ability to show mercy and to ask for forgiveness and to be reconciled. But there are dogs and there are swine. These are spiritual indictments and statements and markings of certain people who cause divisions contrary to the teachings of Christ. And one of those is forgiveness and going to your brother in that same chapter, Matthew 18. And don't go spread slanderous, fictitious lies about people, or even if they're true, the things are true. You're not supposed to be going around telling other people and causing schisms and divisions in the body of Christ. You're to go directly to that person. And that's something that we need a lot of growth in, friends. I hear Christian people that have had altercation, or I say altercation, I mean not physical, but a disagreement with or got into strife with some other believer. They shouldn't be talking about those things to me or to somebody else until they've gone first to the individual that they had the they have the disagreement or the strife with, to clear that up. Okay, that's what Jesus taught. In Matthew chapter 18, the chapter we were in just a moment ago, verse 15 through 17, I want you to go read that. Jesus said, you go, if any man have aught against you, let's see, chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So the first step, if your brother offends you, okay, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And as believers, we are to take this route. And then he says step two, or phase two. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So he's no longer considered a brother. He's a heathen and a publican. That's the only two type of people there are in the world, friend. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there are the lost, or the heathen, and the publicans. Okay, and then, you know, you could also say there are the wolves. They're the heathen and the publicans, or the apostate person who was once saved and is no longer, and yet is operating among the people of God as a wolf. Okay, they're to be marked. They're different than a brother. You got to look at that, and you got to include that in your interpretation of what Jesus taught us. So, if your brother trespasses against you, you're to go to him directly. Between, notice what Jesus says. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. 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 Just you and him. Okay? That's the ultimate plan of God, is to get two brothers reconciled, or two sisters, or whoever it is, two of the members of the body of Christ reconciled with the least amount of people knowing it. There's no need for other people to know these things. Keep it as private as possible, lest you unnecessarily be guilty of causing a schism among the body. Verse 16, this is Matthew 18, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. Okay, step two is take one or two more people with you to try to convince this person that they need to, you know, make amends for and apologize and repent for what they've done to another member of the body of Christ. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Okay, and right after this, just a few verses down, Peter, this is what we read earlier, Peter said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So, we see here that Jesus says we are to forgive our brothers, but he does not rule out the exercise of going to that brother to see if he will reconcile with you based on the trespass that he's committed against you. Again, just a few verses before that, Jesus said, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he's teachable and humble, and he apologizes, that clears it up, then thou hast gained thy brother. He's been restored to fellowship with the body of Christ, and of course Christ, because inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, Jesus said. So Jesus is teaching that we must forgive 70 times 7, but in the same context, Jesus says that if a brother trespasses against us, that we could go to them if we feel the need, if we've been hurt by them, go to them and tell him his fault between them, thee and him alone. Now, we don't have to stick our finger in their face and try to condemn them for it, but we can let them know that what they did really hurt us, and hopefully they can feel conviction and, make reconciliation with you. Okay, so I don't think we quite fully understand the whole forgiveness thing and who we're to forgive. And I think we see in these verses, though, that He's talking to brothers, okay, as contrasted with talking to swine and to spiritual dogs, or people like Alexander the coppersmith, who Paul said did him much evil. And you know, Paul offered no indication that he was just forgiving this guy. This guy was a very hurtful wolf, if you will. We've got those running around posing as watchmen and calling themselves pastors. Of course, nobody else calls them pastor. They just use that term in order to get behind the keyboard, and they're the, you know, the 90-day internet wonder. They throw up a website or get on Facebook or something or one of the social media, and all of a sudden they're a pastor or an apostle or prophet. Well, be not deceived, friend, okay? Many false prophets are going out into the world, and they're going to deceive many, but don't let one of those many be you, okay? Exercise discernment. Why does somebody have to put a title before their name? Why can't they just serve in a humble manner? If they're functioning as one of those gifts, I'm not ruling out the function of those gifts, but those aren't to be flashed as titles. Those are functions, okay? They can just do the function. They don't have to wear the title. It's not a sin not to wear the title. It's a sin to wear the title, especially if you're touting the title as if to bring attention to yourself. Jesus taught against this in Matthew 23:8-12, when he says, don't let any one of you be called rabbi or teacher or anything. You know, you're all brethren. Okay, there's no big me's and little you's in the kingdom of God. The ground is level at the cross. Amen. We all have the same desperate, great need for the saving grace of God that came only through the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. When he paid it in full with his perfect, sinless blood on the altar of the cross at Calvary. Hallelujah. John 19:30, it is finished, it is paid in full, and it was paid in full by one, Jesus Christ, who, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 1:2-3. Okay, so Alexander the coppersmith, Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:14, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware, or be aware of him also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Notice, Alexander the coppersmith did Paul much evil, and Paul didn't say, well, I just forgive him. Paul said, the Lord reward him according to his works. Well, is that rude? Is that unforgiving? Is that vicious of Paul? Is that mean-spirited? No, I think we need to look a little deeper. Perhaps that's merciful. I think Paul's saying here, and I know there's probably different opinions on this. The apostle says, quote, the Lord reward him according to his works. In other words, I believe he's saying, the Lord allow Alexander the coppersmith, who is a deliberate wolf and attacker, persecutor of the body of Christ, the Lord reward him according to his works. I believe it's possible that Paul is saying here, may his reaping come upon him. Okay? Why? Is that hateful? Is Paul just wanting to get back at him? Is Paul just wanting vengeance or to get revenge? No. Perhaps Paul is wanting this man to be taken out of the way so that he can't harm other Christians. So, different picture there. It may be the mercy of God working through Paul and declaring that this man should, and praying perhaps here, that this man should reap what he has sowed in a quick manner, and then leaving it up to God. Because God knows all things. He knows if the man's going to repent or not. And perhaps this is a mercy prayer, a prayer to get this guy out of the way so that he can't hurt other Christians. Whatever he did, it must have been pretty strong, because Paul went out of his way to write that Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware. And then he warns everybody else, be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, Let's bring in the fact that God still kills people under the new covenant. He's not changed. For example, in the book of Acts, he killed Ananias and Sapphira right there in the church, okay, for lying. He also killed, that's Acts 5, he also killed Herod, who did not give him, that's a civil ruler, a politician, I guess, Herod, that's Acts 12:23. The angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten with worms. So, I don't know, friends. I don't have this all figured out, but I think we need to look a little deeper. And a lot of people get stumbled up on this Matthew 7 text where Jesus says, "Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine." Because somehow we all start off in the kingdom believing that we're obligated to do everything we can to every person to get them saved. Well, that's true in a sense, but at the same time, some people don't want to get saved. They don't want to be saved. Okay, cat is a time, Jesus said, to dust off your feet and go on. Amen. Once you've delivered the message of warning, Ezekiel 33, then the blood is off your hands, you know. But a lot of times we feel like, well, I only gave them three or four verses, or I only shared a little bit with him, and I'd like to share more. Well, that's not a bad thing, obviously, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. And that seed you've planted, though you might think it's quite insignificant, is really, especially if it pertained a component of the gospel, is a lot for the Holy Spirit to work with. And that person's going to have to make their own decision. Okay, we don't control other people. We only have the rule over our own spirit, not over other people's spirit. Okay, you've got to understand that through the scriptures. Only God's only given you responsibility over yourself. If you read through the book of Ezekiel, I think you might want to start in chapter 18. You find out that there's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Okay, the dad is not going to give account for the son, and the son's not going to give account for the dad. We are all personally responsible to the Lord. Okay, so if somebody else is, operating in rebellion, they're displaying rebellion as concerns the gospel, whether they're saved or unsaved, or I should say were previously saved or not, they're exercising their will, and they alone have been given that ability to exercise their will. And if they're going to rebel, then you're going to have to get away from them. You're not obligated to continue to pander to them in order to somehow wait around and make sure, you know, or see if they're going to repent. I don't think so. That's not what the Bible teaches, I don't believe. Okay, and I think we're going to get ourselves in a lot of unnecessary harm if we do something like that. And that's perhaps why Jesus is saying here, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." And as we close here, I might add that, first of all, Jesus is saying, do not give your pearls to the swine. Don't waste your time, talent, and money, and energies that God's given you to waste on people that don't want the truth, okay? People that are not obeying the truth. I'm telling you, people that are around you that have heard the truth, they know the truth, they've perhaps backslidden and aren't obeying the Word of God, those people are like time bombs. They could really blow up in your face one day. And every one of us probably has a story about people that have done this. And if we'll discern correctly and look back at what happened, is we knew a long time before they turned on us and rendered us that they weren't obeying God. Well, perhaps you needed to get away from that person a lot sooner than you did, because they were not believing and trusting and obeying God. So you were actually unequally yoked together with them. But the deceptive part is that they got saved in the past. But the Bible teaches that there's great apostasy, especially in this last hour. There are many waxing cold. They're departing from the faith. They're not enduring to the end. Those people, well, you're not obligated to fellowship those people. Okay, as we finish, this goes along with what Jesus taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when he taught that if a Christian is married to a non-Christian and the non-Christian leaves the Christian, the Bible tells you to let them depart. 1 Corinthians 7:15 and 16, let him depart. Why? Because him, the unbelieving spouse, that doesn't mean he didn't believe at some point, but Jesus taught you can believe and then fall away in his parable of the sower and the seed. Luke 8:13, couldn't be any clearer. Jesus invented the term fall away. So that must be factored in here. Okay, there are four types of heart soil, not three. And one of them is one who hears and receives the word of God and gets saved, and then what? Falls away. Luke 8:13, argue with the Son of God if you wish. I'm not going to join you. He wouldn't have used the word and the term fall away if it weren't possible. By the way, how can you fall away from something you're not already involved in? That's ludicrous. Okay? Don't indict the Son of God as being some kind of a derelict. Just believe him at his word. Repent of the tradition you followed and the lies, and just believe God at his word. Amen? So Paul writes here, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. That's concerning marriage. If you're married to an unbeliever and they depart, Bible says you don't have any further obligation to go try to reconcile with them. I guess you can, but he says here, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. You're not under bondage. You're not bound. Bondage, bound to that relationship any longer. For what knowest thou, O wife? Now, it previously said in this chapter that if you're married, you're not to look for a way out whatsoever. Okay? Verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? In other words, you have no guarantee they're ever going to turn to the Lord. That's their decision, not yours. I know we hold out hope and that our families and our friends will be saved, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but ultimately, you're not going to make the decision for their souls. They are, okay? They are, not you. You have a desire. That desire is a godly desire to see them saved, but you're not going to make that decision. They're going to make that decision, okay? Now, I want you to do a little learning further in this particular topic, and I think some of the components involved in what we're talking about today can be found in Ezekiel chapter 18 and Ezekiel chapter 33, and perhaps in some other chapters there in Ezekiel, maybe chapter 3, 18 and 33. I recommend highly. God bless you, friends. Feel free to visit safeguardyoursoul.com.